ॐ गणितमनन्दस्य जनार्जनशलकाय चक्षुसुमिलितञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टां स्थपितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदमयं ददति स प्रणतिकम्। पञ्चकौपतुर्भ्यश्च कृपसन्धुभयेभ्य च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः। Sita Ketu Maharaj has recited the mantras. Maybe you can make this a bit. It's really booming. Boom it less. Yeah. Okay. Sita Ketu Maharaj had recited the mantras given to him by Narada Muni and Angira, which explained the Lord's position. And then, by virtue of those mantras, the Lord decided to appear before him. He came before him, not by the virtue of the mantras, but by the his sincere desire. The mantras brought about a great change in his heart and brought him great realization. And when his desire was pure, the Lord decided to reciprocate with that desire and reveal himself. Then Chitra Ketu Maharaj, who was at that time the king of the Vidyadharas, he spoke to the Lord in his own words, with the Lord standing before him. And he spoke what we read yesterday. In 2 days we read his prayers, or his words, which were prayers to the Lord, where he expressed his understanding of the Lord's greatness. And he expressed, in what we heard yesterday, pure religious principles known as Bhagavad Dharma, which means that when one acts for the pleasure of the Lord, such a wonderful point. I myself find this very inspiring, to open ourselves up to Krishna's mercy by accepting what happens as Krishna's mercy, and always in every situation, because our situations are a combination of our karma. For an ordinary materialistic person, he has his karma to deal with, and of course one's karma comes by the power of the material energy, daivye shugunamayi maya dakshina prakriti suyate satcharachanana. And this material energy, including the law of karma, works under the direction of the Lord. But just as the judge doesn't himself give sentences to the criminals and decide guilty or innocent based on his own discriminations, but he follows the law. So similarly, Krishna establishes the law and he empowers the law of karma to work. So every living entity is under that rule of karma, although that rule of karma, being the material energy, is underneath the Lord, just in the same way as the law of the land is ultimately under the president or the governor or the prime minister. He gives the power to the law, but yet everyone is under the law. So everyone has their karma, and it's all individual. We're born in particular families, particular year, under a configuration of planets which award us different karma, or indicate what karma is due to us, and influence our lives in that way. And we all go through our lives and have different good and bad things happen to us. So that is the law of nature. Unbreakable, stringent. Mama maya dratyaya. Whether we like our karma, whether we don't like our karma, it's imposed upon us. We are not free. And we cannot break our karma so easily by our desire and our striving. No. It is stringent, very strict, very heavily enforced. But when one becomes a devotee, then Krishna, the Lord of karma, the one who empowers the material energy, he uses that karma, or he can break that karma, he can do as he likes, but he uses that karma generally to bring us to him. So the living entity, us who are within the material bodies, in this, we're stuck within our karma, the body means our karma, the mind means our karma. With our desires, with our nature, with the good and bad things that happen to us, we can see that if we are aspiring to be devotees, we accept our position, not exactly as Krishna did this to us, but a combination of our karma, what we've done to us, what we deserve, and Krishna's mercy coming through that. Tateyanu kampamsa samikshamano bunjane vatmakripavabhakam. And we can accept it, and in every situation that we are in, we open our hearts to surrender to Krishna. What that means is, Krishna, I am yours. Please use me as you like. I am surrendered. Sarvadamam pratyajam amikam sharanam vraja. No complaints. Just as you like, use me. Look at Parikit Maharaj. And we're going to hear who the Bhagavatam is being spoken to. He was cursed as a king. He was the king. He was in the height of power. No competitors. All powerful within the world on the material level. And he was cursed to die. And he, okay. Within 7 days, how can I serve Krishna? That was his question, actually. That question, that one question, is what the entire book of the Bhagavatam with its 12 cantos is based on. I'm going to die in 7 days. How should I spend my time? He got his notice, I will die in 7 days. And he didn't think horrible thoughts. He didn't curse God. He accepted reality. This is a product of my... This is what I've done. This is my karma. Now, how should I use my last 7 days? To what perfection? How should I use this time? So, if we think in a similar way, surrender to Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Lord, you are the Lord. How can I serve you? Please engage me in your service. So if we open ourselves to that and keep that mood, that's the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, basically. Oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Oh Lord, please accept me as your servant. For so many births, I've wandered in this world. For so many years, even in this birth, I've wandered with myself as the center. But now, I'm giving that up. And I'm surrendering to you, oh Krishna, please accept me as your servant. So, Chitraketu had explained this principle of Bhagavad Dharma. This is what Bhagavad Dharma is. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's written as Sarvadamam Pratyajam Amekam Sharanam Vraja. You give up all conceptions of religion. Like I should do this and I should do that, all the ritualistic things and all anything that's self-centered, and give yourself to me, Krishna says. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha shami masucha. Don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. Big request from Krishna. But in exchange, he's willing to give himself. Atma prajanta vidanyata. He'll give himself. So Chitraketu Maharaj has explained this Bhagavad Dharma. And now, the Lord is going to reply to the words of Chitraketu. Now these words of the Lord are very philosophical. and Prabhupada's purports are philosophical. And I don't feel very philosophical right now. But yet, I'm going to try my best. Now here's what the Lord said. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. That means the Supreme Lord said. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Dev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. You have accepted their words and now you understand knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, the Lord says, you have seen me face to face. And the Lord was standing in front of Chitraketu. Now you are completely perfect. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. This is called Shakshad Darshan, actually seeing the Lord directly. This is perfection. It's the perfection of the eyes, perfection of everything. When great souls see the Lord, everything is all difficulties removed. And Prabhupada had explained, Chitraketu Maharaj had said, now I've seen you. How wonderful. And Prabhupada explained that perfection can be achieved by seeing the deity form of the Lord, the Vigraha. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord, how he creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. Because if we don't understand that, we won't accept him as the Lord, as so powerful. He's the all-powerful one. That is not all he is, but that he is. He has more than just power, more than Aishwarya. He has also Madhurya and Odarya. He has sweetness and magnanimity of heart. But we can't understand how wonderful those qualities of the Lord are until we understand how great he is. So he creates, he maintains, he annihilates the cosmic manifestation. How powerful he is. We can't even, what can we annihilate with whatever power we have? What can we create? Something that lasts for, is tiny, insignificant, lasts for a short time. What can we maintain? How long? And he is so powerful, we are so tiny and insignificant. But yet, we are proud. This is the age of pride. So, we have to understand the greatness of God, so we understand our own insignificance. That is called transcendental knowledge, when we understand the material manifestation, the Lord, ourself, our relationship, and the relationship between ourselves and the Lord. This is transcendental knowledge, and karma, and time. These type of things are full knowledge, required knowledge. When one is imperfect, when one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead. So one needs that knowledge, and when one has that, he can develop his love of Godhead. How? Through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira, and the members of their disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, there is no limit to how great he is. By his causeless mercy, he becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see him. Because unless he decides to reveal himself, there is nothing we can do to force him to come before us. So So therefore it is always His mercy when we can see Him. It is only His causeless mercy. Causeless mercy means that there's nothing, no force involved, that He's desiring to reveal Himself. And there's nothing the living entity can do. He can make Himself receptive, but He ultimately, and that is necessary, but it's not sufficient. Although the Lord is unlimited, by His causeless mercy, He becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see Him. In our present position in conditioned life, we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taksi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Graham Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Sporatyada. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Spiritually saturated, just like a sponge, absorbs so much water that it cannot absorb any more. It is completely saturated. Its own nature, its own spongy nature, is really just water now. So when our nature absorbs and becomes saturated with the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes, love of Krishna, then the Lord reveals Himself by His causeless mercy. Otherwise, no one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna through his own senses. If one takes to spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. The Brahma Samhita states, Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santasya daivadeshu valokayanti yam shyama sundaram achinta guna sarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen as in his eternal form as Shyama Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master, thus one becomes qualified and later sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead as evinced by Maharaj Chitraketu. Then the Lord continues to say, Aham vaisava bhutani bhutatma bhutabhavana shabda brahma param brahma mamo bhe shashvati tanu. All living entities moving, now he's going, he says, you're seeing me by your service, by your adopting the instructions of Angira Muni and Narada Muni. Now you're seeing me, but now he's going to start talking about himself and his own position. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. That means that all living entities come from the Lord, but yet they're separate from him. I am the supersoul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I'm the supersoul of all living beings, and they exist, we exist, because the Lord manifests us. But yet we are separate from him, and yet we come from him. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations, like Omkar and the Hare Krishna and Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Now here is Prabhupada's purport. It's quite a long purport. We'll go over it bit by bit. The science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step. And when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Pamato Mahan, which means that is the topmost goal, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. So, I heard a tape where Prabhupada said, I was wishing I could play that when that verse was quoted before, that he said that prema anjana, anjana means the ointment, ointment, salve, placed on the eyes. Prema anjana, if one places the salve of prema, of love for Krishna on his eyes, bhakti valochanena, Santa sadaiva riddayeshu valokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna sarupam. That one will see the Lord not just once. People ask Prabhupada at different times, have you seen God? But when one has prema, love for Krishna, not only has he seen God, but there's no time that he doesn't see God. He's completely open to Krishna, and Krishna is completely open to him. The connection is completely established. So when one has prema, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna directly inspires the devotee from within. If the devotee is bhajatam pratipurvakam, worshipping him completely, totally, fully, with devotion, 24 hours a day. So Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu, or substances. One is real, and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence. The real tattva, or the real truth, consists of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. As stated in the Bhagavatam, Vedanti tat tattva vedas tattvam yajnanam adayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan combined are the substance. This is that which makes up the all in existence. There is the Lord and his different features. This is reality. This is real. And everything else, in one sense, as Prabhupada is explaining, is unreal. Anything that appears to be separated from him, from this truth, this absolute truth, is unreal. There's the Lord and his energies, the different forms, aspects of the Lord and the energies. Anything that appears to be separate from the substance, from the absolute truth, is illusion. Krishna explains this in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two. So when the living entity, who is also an emanation of the Supreme Lord, he can act on the material level in two ways. activity, karma, and forbidden activity, vikarma. Karma refers to the pious life of material activities performed during the day and mental activities of dreams at night. These are more or less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities. Edward, could you open the door, please? Which are something like the will of the wisp. These are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they are very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world, although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikarma. So these are the activities that one of the energies of the Lord, the living entities, which we are all, perform on the material level. Either good activities that elevate us, karma, and or illusory activities, vikarma, which really have no benefit at all. All material activities, the good ones that elevate us in the material world, or the bad ones, and the bad ones, are actually illusion. And progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. Progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. It's like in a dream. Sometimes, not really a long time, but I used to have these dreams where, especially when I'd be just waking up, and I'd be carrying on like a basket or something, and I'd see all these big pieces of gold everywhere. And I'm just waking up, and I want to put... Did you ever have that dream too? You must have had it. No. Did you ever have it?
Lots of times.
Lots of times. You had it too. Yeah. And you're waking, oh no, I just want to get all the gold coins before I'm waking up, before I'm up and out of the dream. But then, so you tend to be able to put yourself in the dream a little bit longer so you can collect more gold. But it's illusion. So no matter how much gold you put in the basket, it doesn't make any difference whether you have one small piece or a billion huge pieces of gold in the basket. It doesn't make any difference because it's a dream. It's illusion. It amounts to nothing. Progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. These illusory activities are called akarya. And one must learn of them from the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamano yappi bodhavyam, bodhavyam chavakamana, akamanas chabodhavyam, kahana kamano gati. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So what is illusory action? What is good for you on the illusory level? What is bad for you on the illusory level? Or what activities have nothing at all to do with the illusory level? It is very hard to understand. So therefore, one must learn these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as Anantadev, is instructing King Chitraketu, because of the advanced stage of devotional service he achieved by following the instructions of Narada and Gira. Herein it is also said, Aham vais savabhutani, Anantadev says, the Lord is everything, savabhutani, including the living entities and the material or physical elements. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddha evacha ahankaritya me bhina prakritam astada apayayam idas tvanam prakritim virime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam daryate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Beside this inferior nature, O mighty Amda Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine which consists of the living entities who are struggling with the material nature, and are sustaining the universe. So the living entity tries to lord it over the material or physical elements. But both the physical elements and the spiritual sparks are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham Vaisavabhutani, I am everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, these two energies, the physical elements and the living entities, emanate from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham Vaisavabhutani, I expand the physical and spiritual categories. So we're getting a picture of what God is from the Lord's own mouth, Lord Anantadeva, and Prabhupada's explaining it in the purports, that He is the source of everything. There is nothing separate from Him at all, whether it's the material world, us tiny living entities. There's nothing separate from Him. Just like heat and fire come, heat and light come from fire. Similarly, we and the tiny jivas and the material energy come from the Supreme Lord. So everything rests upon Him. And as we already heard, in illusion, the living entity thinks himself separate from the Lord. And he acts in illusion, doing good and bad things in illusion. But actually, both of them are illusion. What's a good thing in illusion? If you get a good material education, and you make lots of money and achieve a high position in material society, and that's the totality of your life, and then you die. Waking up with a dream, you've put so many pieces of gold in the basket, but then you die, and where is it all? It's gone. It's illusory. It's gone. Or you become a horrible criminal and do so many bad things and everyone is terrified of you and you gain some notoriety in that way. And that can also be gone so quickly. That's the soul, which is an energy of the Lord in illusion. Again, Prabhupada continues, the Lord, as the super soul, guides the living entities who are conditioned by the physical atmosphere. Therefore, He is called Bhutatma Bhutabhavana. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return home back to Godhead. Or, if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. Or He gives him the intelligence to do horrible things. The thief also has to have intelligence. The person who designed the gun and the plan how to rob the bank, he also has intelligence. The killer also has some intelligence. All these are supplied by the Lord, reciprocating with the desires of the living entity. That the Lord is within everyone's heart and giving intelligence is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Savasya charmriti sanavisto mata smirtim gyanam apanam cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and for me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living being the intelligence with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors, our endeavor begins, because we are dependent upon Him. We cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything, either going back to Godhead or becoming materially successful or becoming materially horrible. We are still always dependent. Therefore, the Lord is Bhuta Bhavana. Skipping a little bit. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, so that's one, because in the verse there are two basic points, that everything He says is expanded from me. The moving and non-moving are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. So that was half the verse. And the other half of the verse talks about I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. So now Prabhupada will speak a little about the Lord in his form of vibrations, sound vibrations. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, I am the syllable Om, Pranava, in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound Pranava, Omkar. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Abhinatam Nama Namano. There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. Next verse. The Lord says, in this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources, when we look at this world of matter, that's what we see. An opportunity to enjoy. Opportunities to enjoy. So in this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources, the conditioned soul expands, thinking that he is the enjoyer of the material world. Similarly, the material world expands in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. In this way, they both expand. So the living entity expands his consciousness throughout the material world. As much of a section of the material world as he can. He expands his consciousness, viewing that as resources for his pleasure. And at the same time, within him, the material world expands. With so many desires and plans. So he's expanding to the material world, and the material world is expanding in him. In this way, they both expand. But because they are my energies, the living entity and the material world, they are both pervaded by me. So in the midst of all this, of the living entity conditioned in Maya, trying to enjoy in complete illusion, still Krishna is there within him and within everything he's trying to enjoy. Both are pervaded by me. As the Supreme Lord, I am the cause of these effects. And one should know that both of them rest in me. So there is no place where he is not, even in the illusion of the living entity, even in the material world. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Mayavad philosophy sees everything as being equal in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Brahman, and therefore sees everything as worshipable. They say, Savam idam kalav Brahma, that everything is Brahma, everything is spiritual, everything is the same. So everything, therefore, is worshipable. This dangerous theory, because when you say that everything is worshipable, everything is God, what are you actually saying? You're saying nothing is God. There's like, if we're saying that there's one person lecturing now, Barisha, I'm the lecturer right now, I'm the teacher now. That's saying something. But if we say everyone is the lecturer and everyone is the teacher, then doesn't that really mean that no one is the teacher? No one is the lecturer? If we say everyone is the teacher, we're saying that no one is the teacher. So saying everything is God and equal and worshipable is really saying nothing is God and nothing is worshipable, and it's basically atheism. Because everyone is saying, I'm God. So it is a very dangerous philosophy, Prabhupada said, and this has turned people in general towards atheism. On the strength of this theory, one thinks that he is God, but this is not a fact. Are we pervading everything? Is everything resting upon us? Is the sound vibration Om and the Hare Krishna mantra not different from us? Or are we aware of what everyone's thinking? Are we causing remembrance, forgetfulness, and all knowledge to come to every living individual living entity in the world? Are we causing them to take birth? Are we controlling the sun? No. Are we causing creation? Are we going to cause destruction of the universe? No. So are we God? No. So as Prabhupada says, this is not a fact. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, mayatatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. The fact is that the entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord's energies, not my energies, which are manifested in the physical elements and the living entities. The living entities wrongly consider the physical elements to be resources meant for their enjoyments, and they think themselves to be the enjoyers. However, neither of them is independent. They are both energies of the Lord, both the material energy and us as individuals. The original cause of the material energy and spiritual energy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although the expansion of the Lord's energies is the original cause, one should not think that the Lord Himself has expanded in different ways. That's another theory, that if you take the Lord and He's expanded everywhere, He doesn't exist anymore as a separate individual. This is taking a material conception and trying to impose it upon the Lord. Like the sun expands everywhere throughout the whole universe or solar system, but yet it still exists in one place. It expands throughout its energy. So, because the Lord is everywhere, doesn't mean that He's not somewhere. So these are all Mayavad theories. To condemn the theories of the Mayavadis, the Lord clearly says in Bhagavad Gita, Matstani Savabhutani Natchaham Teshavastita. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything exists within me, within my energy, Krishna says, but I am not everywhere in that same way. I am separate. I am not in them. Everything rests upon Him, and everything is but an expansion of His energy. But this does not mean that everything is as worshipable as the Lord Himself. The material expansion is temporary, but the Lord is not temporary. The living entities are part of the Lord, but they are not the Lord Himself. The living entities in this material world are not inconceivable, but the Lord is. The theory that the Lord's energies being expansions of the Lord are as good as the Lord is mistaken. So here in this verse, the Lord says that I'm expanded everywhere. Now, He's going to explain more about Himself. When a person is in a deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. So two different states of consciousness are being considered here. One is dreaming. So sleep when one's dreaming. And you can see so many things when you're dreaming and in a sleep that are not really there and close. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he's in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. So there's dreaming and then there's awake. Then, when he's awake, he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality. When you first wake up, who am I? You can't remember anything. Then you start remembering, I have to do this, I have this, I'm this person, I belong to this country, I have these duties. So he thinks himself in terms of various conditions as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness. So deep sleep here means no dreaming. When one is so fast asleep, so deeply asleep, one isn't even active on the mental level. One is a dreamless sleep. So whether one is in a deep dreamless sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness, all those are energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. So our three states of consciousness even, whether we're sleeping and not dreaming, so deeply asleep and not dreaming, or sleep and dreaming so many wonderful things or so many horrible things, or we're fully awake and identifying with so many material situations, all these three states of consciousness are not occurring independently of Krishna. They are all resting upon his energies. And he doesn't enter into these states as we do. So this is what this verse means. Prabhupada's purport. None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness, is substantial. In other words, they're not substance, they're not spiritual reality, they are not independent. They rest upon something else. What is that that they rest upon? They rest upon Krishna. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers, and snakes that are situated far away. But in a dream, one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position, and honor. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all but creations of the illusory energy which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate actor, and the conditioned living entity should simply remember his original, remember this original actor, who he depends upon, whom everything he is doing is resting upon. As living entities, we should remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. As living entities, we are being carried away by the waves of prakriti, or nature, which works under the Lord's direction, maya dakshina. Katsha habu dhubuvai. Why are you being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy in various phases of dreaming and wakefulness? That means, why are we seeing everything that is connected to Krishna as separate? We don't see Krishna in anything, and he's everywhere. These are all creations of Maya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Our only duty, here's this part of the purport I especially think it's so wonderful. Listen to this. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. For us to do this, the Shastra advises us, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Lord is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is the ultimate realization. One who realizes Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the most perfect Mahatma, Vasudeva Savamiti, Samahatma Sadolabha. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for then one will understand everything else. Yasmin vigyate savamevam vigyatam bhavati. So therefore the Lord, Tutuketu, is, because he's understood the Lord is explaining to him everything else, the relationship of everything else to him. And then when one understands everything's relationship to the Lord, one understands everything else accurately. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for then one will understand everything else. Yasmin vigyate savamevam vigyatam bhavati. According to this Vedic injunction, simply by understanding Krishna, one understands Brahman, Paramatma, Prakriti, the illusory energy, the spiritual energy, and everything else. Everything will be revealed. Prakriti, the material nature, is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord. And we living entities are being carried away by various phases of prakriti. For self-realization, one should always remember Krishna. As stated in the Padma Purana, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, we should always remember Lord Vishnu. Vishmartavya Najatachit. We should never forget the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Know me, the Lord says, to be the supreme Brahman, the all-pervading supersoul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. If one's dreams during sleep, the Lord continues, this is text 66, are merely subject matters witnessed by the supersoul, how can the living entity, who is different from the supersoul, remember the activities of dreams? The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Therefore, the knower of the facts, the living entity who inquires into the incidents manifested in dreams and wakefulness, is different from the circumstantial activities. That knowing factor is Brahman. So we are souls, in other words, saying we are not the Lord, but we are souls. In other words, this quality of knowing belongs to the living entity and to the Supreme Soul. We are souls. We know so many things. We know things in our dreams. We know things when we're awake. And that ability to know is Krishna's energy. That's consciousness. We have that in a teeny degree. And then there is the Lord who has it as an unlimited degree. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the Supreme Soul. Thus, the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. Both the living entity and the Lord know. Both are qualitatively the same. The living entity knows, because he has the ability to know, given to him by Krishna. He knows so many things. He's aware. He's conscious. And yet, we are not the Supreme Consciousness. Krishna explains in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that he knows everybody's field of activities. He knows what everyone knows, but we as individuals only know what we know. That is the difference. But yet we have the quality of knowing, and that is because we are Krishna's part. When a living entity, thinking himself different from me, separate from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitatively oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, his material conditioned life begins by thinking ourselves as separate from the Lord and knowing incompletely, just seeing matter and not knowing its relationship with Krishna, but yet knowing, and not knowing that our knowing is a gift of Krishna. In other words, instead of identifying his interests with me, with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions, like his wife, children, and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. So this is just a few more verses and one short purport that we'll read. So we'll do that. You're all being very patient. Well, anyway, patient. Maybe not very patient. A human being can attain perfection in life. So, because in the last verse he spoke about by thinking ourselves different from the Lord, our conditioned life, our illusory life begins, and based on that, we have to suffer death. So how can we remove that illusion? So obviously it's by connecting with the Lord, by seeing everything in relationship with Him, and developing love for Him, and developing a loving devotional consciousness. So here's what the Lord says. A human being can attain perfection in life. This is text 58. Illusion can be vanquished. Perfection can be attained in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand himself is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted in life in the higher planetary systems. Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruit of results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires, whether from material activities or from the fruit of activities recommended in the Vedic literature, one gets the opposite results of what he wants. An intelligent man should cease from the desire for fruit of actions. For by such endeavors, one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desire for fruit of results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires. An example. As husband and wife, a man and woman plan together to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness, working jointly in many ways. But because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On the contrary, they are the cause of great unhappiness. One should understand, he's reaching his conclusions. One should understand that the activities of persons who are proud of their material experiences bring only results contradictory to those such persons conceive while awake, sleeping, and deeply sleeping. One should further understand that the spirit soul, although very difficult for the materialist to perceive, is above all these conditions. And by the strength of one's discrimination, one should give up the desire for fruit of results in the present life and the next. Thus, becoming experienced in transcendental knowledge, one should become my devotee. Jnana vijnana santripto madbhakta prusho bhavet. Person should become a devotee. Give up this plan to be the enjoyer in this material world. It comes down to that same point, and to act as a soul, an eternal soul, and become awake on that level. Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity, who are one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this. O King, the Lord said to Chitraketu, if you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, you will achieve the highest perfection by attaining me. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Soul, Shankarshan, disappeared from that place as Chitraketu looked on. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 16th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. So, in a very philosophical way, he's come to that same conclusion, that we should give up ourselves to Krishna, except that we can't, no matter what we try to do in the material world, if it is separate from Krishna, if we are trying to set ourselves up as independent enjoyers, it is bound to bring us the opposite result as we desire. So whatever our nature is, under the guidance of Guru, Shastra, and Vaishnavas, we should learn how to use that nature in Krishna's service, connect it to Krishna's service, because it has a connection, as we have a connection, as everything has a connection. So connect everything to Krishna's service, accept our position, and offer whatever we can to him with great, great devotion. And I'll just read that one verse again. O King, if you accept this conclusion of mine, and that conclusion is that he is the absolute, supreme, absolute person, the absolute truth, and the living entity who are the same as Krishna in quality, but small, tiny, insignificant, and he is great. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this. If you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, you will achieve the highest perfection by attaining me. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Maharaj Chitraketu ki jai, Lord Sankarsan ki jai, all the assembled devotees ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.